Every year, on the Sunday closest to the 23rd of June, Elim churches globally celebrate Mission Sunday. The reason for this particular day will soon become clear. And in the natural sense, it's really not a reason to celebrate at all. But as you'll see, God has been at work, and there really is much to celebrate.
Friday, the 23rd of June 1978, 13 of our missionaries were attacked at the Eagle School in the Vamba Mountains. I'm here in Katareri, Zimbabwe, where in the 1950s, Dr. Cecil and Mary Bryan came and established the Elim Mission Station. In the 70s, conflict raged in Rhodesia. Because of that, it was decided, for the interest of our missionaries and the pupils here, that it was best to relocate. On Friday, the 23rd of June, 1978, the Maganda killed every one of our missionaries. As they killed them, Wendy White cried out, "Don't worry, Phil. They can take our lives, but they cannot kill the soul." Our missionaries cried out to God to forgive their murderers, to bring salvation to them. Several years after our missionaries were murdered at the Vamba, rumors began to circulate that some of the guerrilla fighters had indeed given their lives to Jesus. Peter Griffiths was able to meet Devil Hondo, his real name, Garakai, at the Bible College where he was studying, and hear firsthand the testimony of how Garakai had given his life to Jesus. Not only Garakai, but others of the guerrilla fighters had given their lives to Jesus. At the end of the meeting, Peter Griffiths was able to embrace Garakai, not as a murderer, but as a fellow brother in Christ. I am here at the Vamba Gardens at Elim's headquarters in Malvern, and every Elim Mission Sunday we remember our martyrs who died in the Vamba, and we remember with sorrow. But the story doesn't end there. What we saw in Zimbabwe was not sorrow, but hope and faith in action. Elim Zimbabwe's thriving churches have been planted in all but two major towns in the nation. Missions work has been established in Mozambique with plans to reach into Namibia in the future. The church is growing, moving forward with a vision of a passionate heart for the harvest of souls.
Amen. Church is planted in all but two major towns in that nation. Missions work established in Mozambique, which, by the way, is the nation from which the attackers came. And I've been thinking about how they moved those missionaries into the mountains for safety, and it's there that they were killed, and how the people that made that decision must have been, you know, just broken. But the Lord has been in it, and the Lord is using it. That's an edited version of the video, by the way. Joel's done an amazing job on editing a number of the videos that we're using today, and the full versions will be uploaded onto the Elim Aberystwyth Facebook page. I wanted to say a few words before we move into some more sung worship. That was Elim's mission director. He used the words faith in action, and I was thinking, is actually there any other kind of faith? Doesn't it have to be in action? James 2:26 says, "Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." I think I've been a bit dead when it comes to mission, and I wondered if I'm not the only one. Have some of us been put off mission? It's certainly been done really badly sometimes. Or we might feel afraid at the mention of it. Does it feel too big or too scary or too out of reach? Well, the gospel has an enemy who does not want people to hear this message. So we should expect opposition. How many of the barriers that we have to opposition are the enemy's doing? Joel said in his video that mission is something the Lord has been highlighting for us as a church. So it's something we're looking to be more intentional about. So I'd like to suggest that as we worship together this morning, that it's an opportunity to think afresh about mission, maybe hit the reset button and start again and ask the Lord to speak to us. I think we can be sure that he wants all of us to be involved, and I hope that you'll all know that by the end of the service, if not already. I pray that in this time of sung worship on Father's Day, that we will bless our Heavenly Father by reconsecrating ourselves to his business and service, to truly offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord, which is our true and proper worship. And that includes mission, both in us and through us to others, however he would lead us, however he would have us respond us to this call. And that as we grasp anew his desire for a beautiful bride for his son from every nation, tribe, and people and language, that we will be inspired by him. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I have been surprised by the call to mission that I have sensed this year. I first saw Jesus 30 years ago, and when I say I saw him, I guess I mean he revealed himself to me in my spirit. God is spirit, and so our spirit has to be awakened to him. I was weighed down with 26 plus years of accumulated sin. As Brian sighed heavily then. You're right, brother. That song that we sang about searching the whole world for a love that would fill my heart, that was me. And Jesus enabled me to understand that I needed to put all my sin on him, to transfer it to him, as horrible as that is, and receive instead his complete forgiveness, his righteousness. I was led in baptismal vows there and then, renouncing sin, and I said I wanted to follow Jesus. And I assumed that he would send me to Africa to be a missionary. And I was really frustrated that he didn't. He showed me that I was to stay here in Aberystwyth and, of all things, be in academia. Sorry, those of you in academia. I didn't want to, but I can see now that it would have been a disaster. Bless those who are in academia. We thank you for them. We need people in academia. I can see now that it would have been a disaster to go then. I needed to learn so much more, and still do, about his love, his ways, his sacrifice, his service, and obedience. Oh, I've got control now. Theoretically. No, it's just not. Oh, there. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Can we read this together? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up in you, for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. There are many things in this passage that I think are relevant to mission, but I wanted to highlight this verse. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, from that dark cave, that dark pit, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There are two kingdoms, and those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus, which means we've said sorry, we've repented for our sin, and we've received instead his beautiful, perfect righteousness, we're now in the kingdom of light. But there are so many people in the kingdom of darkness that haven't yet perceived the light. They don't even have the chance to hear about the light because of where they live and the cultures that they're born into. We're going to hear now from someone who the Lord has certainly revealed his heart of mission to, who strongly feels the call to take Jesus where there is currently no church and no existing movement to Christ, and to explain about movement to Christ rather than a traditional institution-led church growth model. A movement to Christ is where the spontaneous multiplication of disciples and churches happens, where everyday believers disciple others, resulting in waves of new followers spreading the gospel across a population or region. This person is one of the most intentionally mission-minded people I've ever met, and we've been really blessed this last season to have some wonderfully mission-minded people with us. She introduced me to the concept of us at Elim Aberystwyth becoming a sending church. A sending church is one that really cultivates mission awareness, develops mission and strategy, identifies and commissions missionary partners, and more. Of course, I'm talking about Astu. We only said goodbye to her last week. She ran the Momentum Yes course for us as a church earlier this year.
Hi, I'm back. Turns out you can't get rid of me that easily, especially not when it's a Mission Sunday. So, hi, happy Father's Day, happy Mission Sunday. Elaine asked me to record a video, which I'm doing across three different parts, about the Momentum Yes course. If you've been part of the church since at least February, you'll know that as a church, we did this course. Many of you took part in it, so for those of you that did, this will be something of a recap. And for those that didn't, then may the Lord reveal more of his heart to us. So first of all, the name, Momentum Yes, why is it called that? Well, it plays on the idea that the momentum already exists. From the beginning, God has been building his church. The church is growing. So in Matthew 16, 18, when Jesus is giving Simon his new name, Peter, the rock, he says, "On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So in the words of the course, the gospel is unstoppable. Today, the global church is growing, and the gospel is moving forward in many places. God's mission will be accomplished. We know the end of the story. Oh, I added that. That's not written there. Sorry. but it's true. But there is also much to be done. So the momentum already exists. The yes part of the name is up to us. It's a question to us. Are we going to take part in this? Are we going to take part in the momentum and say yes? Or are we going to miss out? The course itself is made up of six different sessions. The first three are all about the bigger picture. What is the current state of the church? What's going on currently? Where do we send our workers, etc., etc.? The second three sessions are all about our personal involvement in this bigger picture. What can I do? Me, little old me, what can I do in all of this? And I will record those two in separate videos. So, see you later.
You will have the chance to see Astu later, but only on Facebook because we just got too much to include. So we're going to upload those videos onto the Facebook page. Please look out for them. Please look out for other things on there too. As Astu said, there is already momentum in the gospel. We read in that passage from Colossians at the start, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. There is so much going on, but there is so much more to be done. And I've realized that I can do so much more even without going anywhere. My prayers can go everywhere. I think I've been pretty diligent about reading the scriptures since I became a Christian. And I think I've always wanted God to transform me through the scriptures by his spirit. All I can say is he's had a huge, whopping amount of work to do in me because I'm only just now grasping some of the things I think I should have known right from the start. And one of these is seeing his heart for mission. He seriously loves the lost. He so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But around 30% of the world's population, over 2 billion people, have never heard this message. And this everlasting loving father who sent his son for us wants us to partner with him in mission. Only £1 of every £100 spent to mission goes into this region where there's a massive, massive population that have really no opportunity or very little opportunity to hear about Jesus. I was really struck recently by the father's words in the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15, 31. So the father is speaking to the other son, the older son, who stayed home and carried on working and doing all the stuff and who got cheesed off because the father was celebrating the prodigal's return. And he said, "You are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found." The father is communicating here his utter acceptance of us who come to him, his utter love and rejoicing over us. He is glad when we come to him. He is glad when we receive his son's beautiful righteousness and are reconciled to him. How we need to grasp this and reject the lies the enemy tells us that keep us from rejoicing in his complete love for us. His love is lavish. It makes me think of that Corey Asbury song a while back that was a bit controversial because it spoke of God's love being reckless. But I get it. It's kind of nuts. It's kind of ridiculous. We don't deserve it. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God that chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Earlier this year, we had a preaching season based on the Kingdom of Heaven is Like series passages in Matthew's Gospel. Joel had felt that God wanted him to share the Father's heart, and it was through those passages that the Kingdom of Heaven is like. I do invite you to study all those passages afresh and think about how the Kingdom of Heaven impacts different situations. One of the passages that really stood out to me was this one in Matthew 13, 33, just a single verse. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. And I think we can be the dough. We need the kingdom of heaven to work all the way through us, transforming us as we're washed by the word and transformed by the spirit. But I think the dough is also the world. And that yeast is the gospel that needs to work all the way through to every people, tribe, and nation. On that note, we're going to hear from someone else in whom God has grown his heart for mission.
Then, family, it's great to be with you on this Mission Sunday. Yeah, it feels like a real honour to have been asked to share a little bit about God's heart for mission, what that means for me in my life at the moment, where I'm in a position of preparing to want to move overseas long-term for mission among unreached people. I've been thinking a little bit about what to share, and I think something that has really encouraged and also just humbled me a bit as I've been reflecting is just the truth that this is God's mission. Like, we're celebrating Mission Sunday today, but actually it's a humble reminder, I think, that this isn't the church's mission first and foremost. It's not your mission or my mission first and foremost. Like, this is God's mission, and it's been his heart from the beginning. As you look at the Bible, like, the Bible storyline is a story of mission from God calling Abram to go. And as he calls him, he promises that all the nations will be blessed through him, all the way to Matthew with the Great Commission, when Jesus commands us to go and make disciples of all nations, and then all the way to Revelation, when you see the fulfillment of that in that every tribe, tongue and nation will be gathered before God's throne. I think that should encourage us that this is God's heart and it's God's mission. I found that really freeing because, yeah, it's not something that we need to kind of motivate ourselves to do. Instead, and from my experience, I found it's been a joy and a delight to delight in God and see him lead me to places and to people that he loves and longs for and is inviting us to partner with him to reach and to share the gospel with. It's an adventure and definitely outside of our comfort zone so often. It's freeing to know that God is more committed to it than we ever will be, than we ever could be. And even when our motivation and our love fades, rest assured that God's love is steadfast, never ending, and his love for the lost. I mean, I think of that parable of how the good shepherd goes after the lost one to bring him back into the 99. Yeah, that is how committed the Lord is to his mission. What a privilege, first and foremost, that he saved us, that he saw us and saw us as precious and worth pursuing, and then that he invites us to partner with him in that, to go and pursue others and to entrust the gospel to us. We can have that heart and that love for others as we delight in the Lord, and he will share his heart with us for those around us, and he will equip us to step out of our comfort zones and step beyond our church bubbles to share the good news that we have that brings freedom and life to those living in spiritual darkness. Yeah, and I was also reflecting on the idea of being sent, with me being someone who is being sent by you as Elim Aberystwyth. And I was just reflecting, like, how cool it is that I'm just following in Jesus' footsteps. And Jesus is the original sent one. He is, I guess you could say, like, the first missionary. He's the first one who was sent, and God sent him from heaven down to earth to save us. And any kind of mission that we do in response is just following in Jesus' footsteps of being sent to those who don't yet know, or those who are still in darkness. And he's not calling any of us anywhere that he's not leading us first. So yes, I hope that that is an encouragement to you. I just pray that the Lord bless you this morning, and I look forward to hopefully fellowshipping with you in person again very soon. Lots of love. Bye.
Oh, amen. How cool is that? He commissions us. That is commission, working with him. As Lena says, his heart is way more for others than ours, and we just need to join in with him. It comes from knowing his love for us and knowing his love for others. But we work together. We need to be obedient to our part in the body of Christ's proclamation of the gospel. We work together as the body and bride of Christ, connected to Christ our head in the power of the Spirit. We don't want to miss out. As to mention that, John 17, Jesus prays this amazing prayer about us being one with him as he is one with the Father and the Spirit. Holy Trinity, triune God, one God but three persons, invites us into a perfect, beautiful relationship of love and holiness as we hold out the word of truth to a world in darkness. While Lena was in Africa on short-term mission, she's now looking to go long-term. She shared some photos of her experiences and travels. One photo was with some nomadic people and some missionary workers who'd been sent there by the Father to these nomads. And I was undone by this picture. The Father showed me his heart is so great for the lost that he sends people to such remote places. He uses finances. He trains and equips people, maybe for years at Bible college or whatever. And then he sends them out to people groups that most of us have never or will never hear of to take the good news to them. Romans 10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, read with me if you would like, you will be saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Julia, how beautiful. Did we read this? We didn't read this. Sorry. Let's go back. Hang on. Wait there. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? Where did I get to? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Tell us about these feet, Julia.
Yeah. Oh, these, I hope you all don't mind my feet, but these are my feet and they look very muddy and beaten up. But I guess, yeah, this was when we were in Kenya going to a group of nomadic people, so people that kind of live on the edges of the land and travel with their herds and things. And, yeah, like on the journey, there would be like thorns on the path or like scorpions. I found one in my tent. Or like snakes and, yeah, different things that, yeah, and all the dirt, like, yeah, they would get you. And I guess that's a reminder, like, yeah, when we're going on these journeys, there can be, like, yeah, a lot of challenges, like, I don't know, getting to know a new culture or learning language or, yeah, and in the UK as well, there are always challenges. But, yeah, I guess the beauty of it, that, like, yeah, God so wants every person to know him. And, yeah, he wants those people in those tiny tribes. And, yeah, so it might not look beautiful, but it actually is so beautiful. So,
hallelujah. Right after the prodigals. Oh, yes. So I do want to challenge. This is really a challenge now. Right after the prodigal son story in Luke's gospel is the parable of the shrewd manager, or he may be called the dishonest manager. We don't have time to look at this passage in any detail. I'll try and summarize it, and I invite you to read it later, Luke 16, and to read the Enduring Word commentary on it, which is awesome and freely available, and think about this passage in the context of mission. In summary, there's a rich man, and then there's the manager of the man's wealth. This manager is dishonest, and the rich man has heard about this and is going to call him to account and dismiss him. So the manager does some dodgy deals to gain friends so that he's in a better position when he loses his job. It's a difficult passage because it looks as though Jesus is commending a dishonest person. But this Enduring Word commentary I found helped me properly understand this for the first time. I've messed up my slides a bit, so you haven't got the information. Oh. No. Okay. No. And no. Oh. Okay. We'll stay on the feet. We'll bless Julia's feet. The passage says, give an account of your stewardship. These are words that everyone will hear, both sinner and saint. We'll all have to give account in some way, and we'll give account to God. Spurgeon once noted that each of us will give an account regarding our time, our talents, the gifts, the resources that God has given us, our substance, who we are, and our influence. The steward says, what shall I do? My master's taking the stewardship away from me. When he knew that he would be called to account, he knew his poor management would be exposed. So then he did his dodgy deals. He was using his present position to prepare himself for the next stage in life. And the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. While not approving his conduct, the master did, in fact, approve his shrewdness. Some consider this to be one of Jesus' most difficult parables because it seems that he used an obviously dishonest man as an example for disciples. But God sometimes uses evil things that are familiar to us to illustrate a particular point without praising the thing itself. The dishonest steward knew he would be called to account for his life, and he took that seriously. We need to take seriously the idea that we will be called to account. And that can be a joy if we are properly about our master's business. We need to be about our master's business. We need to use his resources well for his business, investing in his kingdom. There are two kingdoms, light and dark, and Jesus came to free us from Satan's kingdom, which is the dark one, and it's a serious business, and we will encounter opposition, but we must stand firm. God, in his awesome beauty and joyfulness, wants us to be part of this. He invites us to participate in this glorious work, releasing prisoners from bondage to Satan, who will take them to hell with him if they don't turn to Jesus for help. People's sin blinds them to the truth and keeps them captive to Satan. But Jesus lived a perfect life, suffered and died in our place on the cross to take the punishment for our sin so that we could have his righteousness and be reconciled to God. Don't know if I've got this slide. I think I got a bit carried away in deleting slides between the services. Jesus, you know this passage. Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 28, something like verse 16 or 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And I think I'm understanding that this great commission is for us as a body. Some go, some stay, but we're all involved through prayer, through giving in some way. For some of us, through going. And for some of us, we will be reaching the nations because so many nations come to Aberystwyth. Hallelujah. God is building his church here in Elim, Aberystwyth. And this is an every member activity. We are the body of Christ. We are the living stones of that Peter talks about. And Ephesians talks about every supporting ligament doing its work. So I want to talk a little bit about resources. Another slide I've lost. Astu has resourced us with a wonderful box of books, of encouraging books, lots of books about heroes of the faith. I just picked up this one on C.T. Studd. I've heard the name but didn't really know anything about him. I literally just opened it up at this page. After about 20 minutes on their knees, C.T. announced that they had prayed long enough. "We have told God everything," he said, "and there seems no point in repeating it," as if he were deaf or could not understand the urgency of the situation. The following morning, the twice monthly mailbag arrived. C.T. and Priscilla quickly began to open the letters in the bag, hoping to find a check from someone they knew, but there were no checks in any of the letters. C.T. decided to check inside the mailbag one more time. This time he spotted a single letter that had got stuck in the corner of the bag. He pulled the letter out and studied the unfamiliar handwriting. "Do you know a Mr. Frank Crossley?" he asked his wife. "No," she replied. "I don't ever recall hearing that name." He slit the envelope open and unfolded a letter. Inside was a check for £100. The letter also contained an explanation. "I have, for some reason or another, received a command of God to send you a check for £100. I have never met you. I've only heard of you, and that not often. But God's prevented me from sleeping tonight by his command. Why he should command me to send you this, I do not know. You will know better than I. Anyhow, here it is, and I hope it will do you good." C.T. and Priscilla held a prayer meeting to thank God right there and then. This is a man who I think went to all sorts of places, China, India, and finally Central Africa. There are loads of books like this. We'll start a library so that you can borrow these books and be encouraged. Also, I would really like to start a monthly, at least, mission-focused prayer meeting. So we'll keep you informed about that. There are so many resources and information available to us. There's the Open Doors prayer letters that help us understand the persecution that so many of our brothers and sisters are going through. There are multiple mission organizations, including Elim Missions. I'd never really been on the website before. There's loads of stuff there, encouraging stories. Also, Wycliffe were with us the end of last year. that was really encouraging. And part of what they do is offer a free will writing service. And there's no compulsion, but obviously you've got the opportunity to leave money to people like Wycliffe to translate the Bible into even more languages so that even more people can hear about Jesus. And I encourage you to do that if you've got any money. So one of the ladies that is associated with us is called Sarah. She's with an organization called SIM. She sent me these stories. If you go on the live stream, you'll be able to, you know, look at these and look them up and be encouraged by them. And they're from different people being used in different ways. And Sarah says, God will use anyone with the gifts and talents he has given them. And our job is to be faithful and go where he's calling us to be. The stories shared that are on the previous slide represent the diversity of people he calls to overseas mission. What we all have in common is that we cannot do it without God. He doesn't call the qualified. He calls those who truly have to depend on him. One person going requires an army of people, people who will pray, people who will give, people who will ask questions, and a church who will love the people being sent and the people they are going to. So the question is, how, where, how, and with whom is God calling you to build? I'm just going to pray, and then we'll have a time of worship. If you've got some burning prayer on your heart, please pray it out. I'd hoped we'd have a bit more time to pray. But I encourage you to ask God to reveal his heart for mission to you. I ask you to pray for people like Julia, Lena, others who are going off in mission or seeking God's heart for mission, that he would build us up as a church in mission. And if there's a particular, that he would lay particular countries maybe even on your heart. Do you want to come up? Heavenly Father, we bless you and praise you and thank you that you are such a good and great God, that you have such an incredible heart for the lost sheep to be brought into your kingdom of light. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you will grow us individually and as a church in your heart for mission, Jesus, that you would move us forward from this place to see your word go out into more of the world. And also that each of us would understand how you can use us, even here, even us, how you can use us to share your love with those around us. And Lord, I pray that we would not feel any condemnation or judgment or anything, but we would just let your Holy Spirit, that we would know that we're yoked with you, Jesus, and that we do it with you, and that you will give us words, you will help us and inspire us. And we pray all these things in your name, Lord. Amen.